Time? Okay, let's begin our discussion of the next installment of Ebenezer topic. This is actually the positive and the goal of Ebenezer. After we've spoken about a number of the Surim relating to Ebenezer and the Azharos, but this is the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ebenezer is obviously husband and wife. There's the first siman in Ebenezer is the mitzvah to get married in order to have children. Maybe we'll talk about of a shir about Puravu at some point. But we'll talk about marriage today. Hopefully keep this in your notes for a couple of years from now, whatever that might be. Hopefully your Masada Kedusha will also sit down with you and repeat a lot of this stuff. But just in case not, it's important to go through. We will try to go through as much as we can. An overview of the wedding process from before the wedding till after the wedding. And the halachic issues that come up and some symbolism of the different things that we do. Obviously, this is our regal achas. You could spend a couple of shiurim on this, but we'll try to do what we can to try to give tochen. And again, the more you know about something, the more meaningful it is. A lot of times people go through a marriage and the whole process and they do things and we walk around and we do this and we do that, but you know, it's not just do it because that's the way it's done. But the more we understand why, so then the halachically and hashkafically, the more meaningful it is. Good. First and foremost, we know that getting married is a mitzvah daraisa according to many Rishonim. The Rambam tells us, you have it in source number one, Kodem Matan Torah, one of the few times in Mishnah Torah that the Rambam talks about history. Very good. Bring chairs. You can bring more chairs here. Right here, there's more space. The Rambam talks about history only in a few places. Beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam talks about history. The beginning of here, Hilchos Ishus. A couple of other places. Beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam talks about history. Why is it? Obviously, because he feels that history is halachic. Right, it's not in Mishnah Torah unless it has halachic significance. So here the Rambam talks about the difference between what happened with Jews before Maimon Har Sinai, and you can bring some chairs in the front too, and what happened after Maimon Har Sinai. Kodem Matan Torah, Adam Pogei Isha Bashuk, person meets a woman in the street, Imratza Huvihi Lisa Usa, if they want to get married, Machnisa Labeso Bala Binol Benatzbo, they just start living together, V'tiel Elisha, and then they are married. But once the Torah was given, Nistabo Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael were commanded, Shemir Tzoha Ish, Lisa Isha, Yikno, Satchil Befnei Edim. One has to have a Kenyan first before Edim, Yacharkach, Tielo Leisha. So this is Kiddushin, as we will see, the first stage of a Jewish marriage. There's nothing really halachic about engagement in Judaism, but the first stage of marriage is Kiddushin, and that is a mitzvah daraisa. L'kuchan elu mitzvah shel Torah hein, and when the Chasan and Kala are under the chuppah, you know, they should realize that they are, at least he, but let's assume they for now, they are performing a mitzvah separate from the mitzvah of Puravu. Right, according to some Rishonim, the Rosh of Maseches Ksubis, getting married is just a preparatory stage in order to be able to have children. But according to the Rambam and according to many others, the getting married is itself a mitzvah, and that is why there are many ramifications in terms of birchas mitzvah and the types of kavana that one should have. And again, obviously, this is not a mitzvah that like other mitzvos. This is a definitional mitzvah that defines who we are for the rest of our life. The basis of family is the basis of so many mitzvos, and this is the goal of life. The goal of life is to recognize that we are only half to reach that level. Like the Gemara says, when one gets married, then they have shleimus in Torah. They have shleimus in many areas, but that's the goal. And every part of the process reflects something about that goal and about that relationship. And it contrasts to marriages of other religions, right? Every single stage of the marriage process reflects that as well. Okay, good. So let's talk first a little bit about pre-wedding. Pre-wedding, various halachas and various minhagim. First of all, a wedding ring. A wedding ring, again, some is on the sheets, some is not on the sheets. Number one, it must be bought by the chassan, right? We know that the one of the three ways, we'll talk about this B'Hashem again later, one of the three ways to get married is kesef kiddushin, kiddusha kesef. A man gives the woman something of value with kavana to be mekadesher. We use kiddusha kesef and not even shtar. The Gemara says already they didn't use kedusha bi in the days of the Gemara. We don't use shtar. The Rambam says, I didn't give this to you, the Rambam says we don't use shtar, we use dafka kesef to go against the Karaites. Because again, in those days, in the days of the Karaites, 1,000 years ago, they were much more common. But the Rambam famously says that shtar is an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Vi is an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Kesef, we learned that 2 weeks ago, is parashat. It's gzeira shava. It's Torah shebal peh. We dafka use kedusha kesef to show that we believe in Torah shebal peh, and that is what we use. But not only that, we use a ring. We most use a ring. My roommate in college, I was an aid kedushin at his wedding, and he was Sephardi, and he dropped a coin into his kallahs. Hariyat mukadesh li b'matbeyazu. That's Moshe v'Yisrael. That's what some, I had never seen that before, and I haven't seen it since. But you know, the minhag of Ashkenazim and most others is to use a ring. It has to be bought by the chassan. He should not buy it on credit, because it has to be his. Question, credit card. When do you pay? Is it a loan? So it's good to pay, pay for it with one's money. Davni Miluim, the Ksos, discusses, you know, even though we say Mashiach is Konan, you pick it up, but, you know, you should pay for it, and there won't be any questions. Why, Dafka, do we use a ring out of anything that one might use? And again, this goes back very, very early. Very early, the Ring Tosfos talks about this. So one idea is that we are a link in the chain, and every couple that gets married is another link in that chain of wonderful couples going back to Avram and Sarah. So you think of a ring; every couple, new couple, is a link in that chain. Number one, one idea. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes another idea. In source number 4, Mishar Shia Mitzvah, for instance, talks about marriage itself, Shetasaveno Torah Lasos Maisa Beisha, to create a context, right? The message of Kiddushin is to create a context, a relationship before the physical relationship. Like, not just to like start living together. No, we create a relationship, a halachic relationship, before the physical relationship starts. The Chinuch says, second idea, it's a constant reminder. Right? It's a constant reminder. La maskara. She always remembers that she is married. Number two, that's the Chinuch. A third idea I once heard is that, again, this is good to tell the kallahs and the chazanim, that in Tanakh, a ring always symbolizes, giving over a ring always symbolizes giving over authority. Right, the Achashverosh gives it to Haman, and Paro gives it to Yosef, and the Chasan gives it to the Kala. Right, as if to say that, you know, this is a, you know, even though maybe in other religions it's the man rules, but this is a partnership, and this is you know, giving over authority shared authority. I would say the wedding ring, again, this is all about pre-wedding, because it's about what he has to buy. So he has to go. It's not expensive, generally. An engagement ring is very expensive, but a wedding ring is a simple, no stones. No stones, so it's clear what the value is to the Edim. It's usually pure gold, pure silver, whatever it is, but the value should be apparent. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Source number 5, in Eben Ezra and Siman Lamed Aleph. The problem is if you use a ring and it's hard to know exactly what the value is, even though you know it's more than a shavapruta, but if you don't know what the value is, it's a little tricky. About Tzorach Shuma, there's a sugi in Kiddushin, Lakach, where it's underlined, Nagu Lakadish B'tabav She'ein Ba'evan, where we use Kiddushin with a ring that does not have any stones, so it's clear what the value is. Right? I think my wedding ring cost, I don't know, $50, $75 at the time. 28 years ago. But again, the simple basics. That's also pre-wedding. Three pre-marriage minhagim. Right, not halachas, but minhagim. And again, it's not minhag for all. Number one, there's minhag for the kala to buy a talis for the chasen. To buy the talis. Talis symbolizes the environment. Symbolizes the new reality. So that's why there is a beautiful custom for the kala to buy her chasan the talis. There's a minhag, again, this is all minhag, for the chasan to buy the kala the candlesticks that she's going to use every Shabbos. Why? Because really, the mitzvah of halakas neiros every Shabbos is on the man and the woman equally. The woman does it for two reasons quoted by the Rishonim, right, the Rambam and the Torah quote, right, either it has to do with she's the involved in the Sarche Habayis, or goes back to Chava, whatever the reason is, you know, she does it, but she fulfills his chiyuv. So in order for her to him to have a little chalik in the mitzvah every week. If he buys the candlesticks, then he already has a chalik in the mitzvah a little bit every week of halakas neiris. There's also an idea, I think I mentioned this at some point earlier, that he should prepare the candles. He should prepare the candlesticks every week to have a key. I remember my grandfather doing that for my grandmother. But he should prepare the candlesticks, fill up the, if it's a liquid, fill it up, get it ready. And even when somebody once came to me and said, but Rabbi, I work all day Friday, I get home on the train 15 minutes before Shabbos, I said, I'm a radical, do it Thursday night. Right? You want to do a Motzi Shabbos? You can do a Motzi Shabbos also. Right? But it's, we should try to get a little chelik. There's a beautiful diak. I think you might have heard this before. It's a diak that in the Mishnah that we in Bava Malikin that we say Friday nights in source number 6, right? The Mishnah says that there are three averis that women have to be very careful in. Nida, chava, hadlakas haner. Rabbi Kiva Eger is medayik there on that Mishnah. Why does it say Nida Chava Hadlakas Haner? Why not just Nida Chava? I mean, source number 6. Why doesn't it say just Nida Chava Ner? Right? Or Prisas Nida Hafrashas Chava Hadlakas Haner, if you want to be parallel. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, because it's emphasizing that the woman is only in charge of the Hadlakas Haner, but the setting up of the candles, that's the husband's job. So Rabbi Kiva Eger on Mishnayos, and the Tosfos of Rabbi Kiva Eger. The husband should set it up because, right, and Mishnah Magen Avraham quotes that also. Ha'ish yisakin aneiras, but Rabbi Kiva Eger is the one that says it's merumas in that. But that is all the second minhag, pre-wedding. The third minhag, pre-wedding, one second. Third minhag is, there's a minhag not to see each other for a week before the wedding. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. There's no, right, it's not a chi of gomer, but that's the minhag in most circles. When does the quote unquote minhag end? It doesn't quote in the poskim, when it ends, right? There are those that don't see, and then by the Badekin, as we'll get to the Hashem a little bit later, then they see. But I will encourage, I'll say it now, you'll hear it also before, that I encourage very strongly for pictures, if there are big family pictures, to take pictures before the wedding. Saves tremendous amounts of time. I know in England you do different things. You have the afternoon and the night, and I say, but in America you do it all straight. So if you could have an hour and a quarter of pictures after the chuppah before the chazan kal come in for the first dance. It's a huge tircha de tzibura. Everybody does it. You try to do it as quickly as possible. But if one knows that they have a large family. So then, if one can, there's no, you can be mekayim the minhag of not seeing, the chazan kala not seeing each other before for the week, and then you see each other by the wedding. The best thing I can tell you is, I did it, right? I took pictures before the wedding, and you can have all the family pictures. The problem is, you can have all the big family pictures, but if the chazan kala aren't together in the picture, then you're missing something. So nowadays, it's easy anyway. So I'll tell you, by our wedding, so we did, all the pictures before the wedding, and after the chuppah, after the yichud room, there was like 15 minutes of the touching pictures, and then you're dancing 20-25 minutes after the yichud room. Again, not everybody agrees. We made a wedding, my daughter got married about a month ago, she said no. So I'm like, even if it's good for me, if my daughter said no, I'm not taking pictures before the wedding. So what do we do? But nowadays it's easy also. We did all the family pictures before the wedding, and you leave a little space because you could Photoshop today. You could Photoshop the chassid into her family pictures. You could Photoshop her into his family pictures. So there's no excuse to have a tremendous amount of pictures done after the chuppah. Because you don't want to see each other? Fine. You don't see each other, and you still could be okay as long as the photographer knows to leave a little space. But again, either way, the minhag is to tonight each see each other before, and that is those are the three minhagim beforehand. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, since the Magen Avraham is quoting it, since Mashal Tzadik.
No, Rabbi Kiva Eger is after. Right. So the Magen Avraham is quoting this idea that the husband should do a little bit. Rabbi Kiva Eger found the remez to that in the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yisabit and Minhago?
What? It's all, yeah.
Right. Also, based on what Rabbi was saying about how the whole idea of not seeing the woman before is like to create the excitement or whatever, what about video calls?
What?
Video calls before.
Yeah, it's all whatever you want. They have to discuss. Some people are like, we're not even going to text. Whatever. I would say not the video call. Somebody asks me, I would say not the video call. Yeah.
Can you get the ring from somebody as a gift, or you have to buy it?
If you get it as a gift, then it has to be given to you totally yours. Okay. Totally yours. There's a. I'll just mention a. Maybe this might take us 2 weeks, this week and next week, so it's okay. But if I don't want to rush, there's an unbelievable tshuva. Rav Asher Weiss has. It's not in here because I made this sheet earlier. Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in the Minchas Asher. You can look it up. The following case. he quotes there which city it took place in. But he says there was a case that he got the shayla, he got it afterwards. He got it like a few days later. Like, what would you have done? You know, what should have been done? But this was the case. A chassan, they got married on Wednesday, and then it was Shabbos Shever Brachos, wonderful. Friday night, this recognition was made. What recognition was made? The chassan, before the wedding, had given his sister, hold on to the ring for me. Maybe there's nobody else, you hold on to the ring for me. What'd she do to hold on to the ring? She put it on her own finger. You see where this is going, right? At the chuppah, right before the chuppah, he says, can I have the ring? She takes off the ring, she gives him her wedding ring by mistake, instead of the wedding ring that the chassan gave her to hold. And they didn't realize it until Friday night, Shabbos Shever Brachos. So what's the shaila here? Number one, are they married? Are they married, right? Did he gave the woman his sister's wedding ring. Didn't belong to him, right? So now, do another wedding? You know how embarrassing that is? What, for the past two nights I lived in sin? Right? And what, are you going to have everybody together? What? So they're not married. What? So don't tell anybody. What, you're going to make Sheva Brachas Levatala without telling anybody? Okay, do it now. Can you make a kinyan on Shabbos? Get married on Shabbos? Like, this is like nightmarish. Like nightmarish. What do you do? So what they did was, in the story, it's written, what they did was, what the rabbi, whoever was there, took the chassan and the kala into a room, took two edim, did another ma'aseh kiddushin with the ring v'chulu, and nobody else knew about it then except these two other edim. So Rav Asher Weiss writes in that tshuva, chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. What do you think the chassan kala feel like? What do you think? No, there's an umdin demuchach. There's an umdin demuchach. It's clear that, and he brings rias to this, that if it's clear cut that everybody involved would want this kinyan to be, even though you're missing some das in your mind, it's good. It's clear that this sister would give a b'matana gemura to her brother this ring and say, it's yours, in order for they able to be able to marriage to work, and therefore there wouldn't be an issue. But either way, that has to do with the moral of the story. Don't give, the chassan shouldn't give it to the sister. But again, this is all about buying the ring before it. So anyway, this is the various minhagim that take place before. I guess there is another minhag. Again, the first time that I got engaged, they got there, and then my in-laws, they got me a watch. So I don't know if that's a minhag. I think it's more of like, I don't know what the message for that is, you know. But I don't think it's not quoted in the poskim. But anyway, you know, whatever minhag is, you know, whatever minhagim. But these are the three that have some halachic significance. Continuing, other minhagim. Let's do a little bit more. Other minhagim pre-wedding. There's an idea of the chassan getting an aliyah before the wedding. That might go back very early. Chassan Doma Lamelech in the Pirkei Derbalazar talks about how even in the Beis Hamikdash there were different sha'arim. You could even see them now. You could even see them now if you look on by the southern excavations. If you go to the Kotel, so if you go closer to the Shar HaAshbot or the southern excavations, they have, right, they could see remnants of the two gates, the Shar Chassanim and the Shar Avelim. They used to go through those sides. So again, there's clarity that they used to go. Go up. They used to have bring the chassanim there, and they would get an aliyah and treat him like a melech. Okay, different ideas, but we definitely treat him with kavod. What's the chiyuv of the aliyah? So the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis that when we get married, as I alluded to before, we are shalim in Torah. So we get an aliyah the Shabbos before as a recognition that we're going to be shalim in Torah once we get married. This Perkei Derbalazar quotes that maybe it's Chazan Doma Lamelech. Chazan Doma Lamelech, that's in source number 10. You have that phrase. So maybe even though there's a question about when he becomes Doma Lamelech, before or after, but that is the idea of a getting an aliyah. Again, that is he has a chiyuv to get an aliyah beforehand, but the Shabbos before the wedding. Yeah. Why do we give a Bar Mitzvah boy Maftir? Because in people's eyes, Maftir is the greatest kibbutz, even though it's really an add-on. That's what people do. Some things are, it has the status of an aliyah today, Bizman Hazeh, even though technically, it's not the full. But again, that's what people do. Yeah.
Can you do Kiddushin on Shabbos? Did Rav Asher address that?
So, it's Mi'ekar Adin, you can't do Kinyanim on Shabbos, and this is the Rabbanan. In a case of Shas, you could do, if it's Lasharach Mitzvah, there are some that say that you can't do it. Right? Like, Lulav. If you only have one Lulav in town, you can give it to each other on the first day. It has to be yours. So, there are certain, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about Tzorach Mitzvah. Sometimes you give Bar Mitzvah gifts, like the rabbi gets up and gives the will the Bar Mitzvah boy come up and he gives them the. So, Ivyal, you'll be koned after Shabbos. Yeah, Bar Mitzvah, so Bar Mitzvah boy says, right, exactly, whatever you say. What does that mean? Right? So, but, so again, it's. But with Tzorach Mitzvah, there is some flexibility for Matanis. Okay, the day of the wedding. There's a minhag for the minhag. I get a minhag for the chasen to go to the mikvah. If you're an Eretz Yisrael, get married in Eretz Yisrael, there's like a special mikvah by the Kotel that's only open for chasanim, like underneath over there. You can bring your invitation and you bring your tudat zehut and you're allowed to go in there. There's no to go to the mikvah, though obviously the woman has to go to the mikvah. That's Mi'ikar Adin, like within 4 days of the wedding. But the minhag for the chasen to go to the mikvah, there is an idea quoted in the poskim based on the Gemara in Brachas in source number 11 to have Shmira. The day of the wedding, the chasen and the kala should not be alone. Okay, that's quoted in the Beis Yosef. And one might say that because whenever there's a very special day, that's when the prosecuting forces, you know, in Shemayim really want to mess things up. And we know that if you're alone, they're more susceptible. The more you're with somebody, there's more protection. And that's why, you know, generally we try not to be, the Chazak HaKal should not be alone the day of the wedding. There's also a minhag to fast the day of the wedding. Right, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in source number 12. The Rama quotes it. Various reasons given for that. So I've heard recently, I've done a little research, that this, you know, many people don't fast. I know when I was getting married, I remember everybody fasted. So again, one has to know, if one's a bad faster, so then you don't have to fast. But I always tell them, you don't have to fast, but don't eat in public. Not everybody has to know that you're not fasting. So you can eat privately and drink privately, but it is a minhag that goes back at least 500 years. So if one can, again, obviously if you get married in the winter, so it's easier if the wedding is going to be earlier in the day. I got married in June, it was long. But again, if somebody, again, is a bad faster, this is a minhag, it's not a din. And therefore, if one doesn't feel well, or one knows that one is not going to feel well, you know, then one can, maybe till chatzos. But again, that's the minhag. Why is there such a minhag of fasting? So if you look in the Ber Hetev there on Shulchan Aruch quotes two reasons. Yesh bazeh shtei ta'amim. Ha'echan mishum shum yom slicha detu, u'malchav arosayim. It's like a Yom Kippur. It's like a Yom Kippur. L'fi zeh roi l'hashlam atayinus. Right, and then you have to, you should fast the whole day. Like Yom Kippur, Mechila Savonos, which is also why the Chassid and the Kala say the Davin, the Mincha of Erev Yom Kippur. Right, the day of the wedding, they take the mincha with all the alchets that's done on the day of the wedding, because it's like a Yom Kippur.
Don't they get married before mincha?
They do it by chakras. Hatama Bey says the Ber Hetev, Shem Yishtakru v'lo yedaitem yishev asalei, and the opposite. You know, sometimes if you eat and you drink and won't be sound of mind, you know, it's the opposite of a bachelor party. You know, we stay away from all food and drink and fasting so that you have proper yishuv hadas, and it's a day in general. It's a day of tshuva. It's a day of transition of a major transition in one's life. That's what the Shlach Kadosh writes in 14. We have to recognize the unique potential and privilege and possibilities that exist for the future, and the chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us to start a new leaf. Right? When we're single, we have one stage of our lives, and when one gets married, it's a totally new stage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a new slate to start off in this stage. So we have to recognize that and make sure that we treat it with proper perspective. I once heard another upshot about the fasting. And that is, I think Rabbi Arya Kaplan writes this in one of his books. And that is, you know, the marriage is obviously the start of the physical relationship between the husband and the wife. That's a major part, and that's in Judaism, that is very important. It's a major, right, we don't reject it, right? Once pointed out that Christianity rejects the physical relationship totally, right? The Pope's never going to yarshin his position to his son, right? That's never going to happen, right? Because the Christianity believes that the physical relationship between a man and a woman is dirty, is disgusting, and if you're holy, you're away from it. And then most other religions celebrate the physical relationship, and no holds barred, and there's no limits, and Judaism is right in the middle. We think it's very important, and but we sanctify it, and we uplift it. And getting married is called Kiddushin. And that's about to start. So maybe to emphasize that we know that the relationship between the man and the woman is not, the physical is about to start, but to emphasize that there are so many other levels of the relationship, social, emotional, psychological, we go to the other extreme. We go as far away from physical, right? We don't eat, to show that we're emphasized the many other layers of the relationship, and then we'll get to the physical once the wedding takes place. Okay, but again, if somebody is really not a good faster, you know, or if somebody is very nervous, that this shouldn't be the anxiety producing. Okay, so now we get to the wedding. That was all pre-wedding. Now we get to the wedding. So at the wedding, right, we have the chazan's tish. Tish in Yiddish is a table, right? So the table. So usually the kala is saying hello to everybody, and not much that halachic that's going on there with her. But by the tish, there is something very important going on. One is an ancient minhag, and one is a din. Right? There is a minhag called the tnaim. Again, in most circles in chutz la'aretz, it's almost virtually accepted to do. In many places in Eretz Yisrael, it's not. And that is, what's the tnaim? The tnaim is an agreement between the parents that used to be signed in the days of the Gemara. It was signed months before. It was a financial agreement between the parents that they don't have any claims against each other, and they're not going to hold anything against each other, and they just need their kids to get married, and they support them, and wonderful. And that was done, and because if anybody would back out, they committed certain finances, and so it was pretty serious in the days of old. Nowadays, we do it 5 minutes before they get married. So, like, what are you kind of like commitments and backing out? So really, it doesn't make sense to do it bizman hazeh. So I remember I told you before. You know, I always give the chasan and the kala the choice. You know, figure I ask them, and you know. So here it was like about a month ago, my daughter got married, and I did the wedding. So I'm like, what do you want to do? They're like, whatever you want. I'm like, I know it's in a chutz la'aretz, I would for sure do it because come on, every wedding. But here in Eretz Yisrael, it's really different minhagim. So I asked Rav Asher Weiss. He said you don't have to do it. I said, does that mean I shouldn't do it? He's like, yeah, don't do it. I'm like, okay. But again, but this is an ancient custom. The one good thing about it is that it's three extra kibudim. If one needs to be mechabed, three great rabbis that are at the wedding. So it's at the tish, it's signed. The kinyan is done between the fathers, not with the chassan, because it's an agreement between them, a financial agreement, and somebody reads it, and you break a plate, and as if to say, you know, there's nothing that's going to make us upset. Different. Some say it's Zeichel HaChorban, as every breaking is, but others say that it's has something to do specifically with we're not bound to each other in any way, and that's the Shtar Tznayim, which again I'm not telling you should ask your Masada Kedushin whatever is done, but again it's that's the Tznayim. But the other aspect of the Tish is the Ksuba. Yeah. Right, so sometimes it's done earlier, but they call it a tznayim. But you know, in many months before, you would write a shtar tznayim.
But they changed that. Now it's like a weird gear.
I'm saying so. Maybe it's like something just nice and right. Chassidim, yeah, Chassidim are more makbid about it. Adayom hazeh.
But the right?
What?
It's called a vort.
Rot?
Avart.
Avart. Yeah, Avart, engagement party. There's another, what do they call it?
L'chaim.
Yes, thank you. Whatever you call it. Okay. Anyway, but the ksuba then is signed. The ksuba is written and filled in at the chazan's tish. So the ksuba is crucial. Ksuba, as we know, is not a marriage license. Ksuba is not a marriage license. Their chazan kala are fully married without a ksuba. But the ksuba is a list of obligations that the chazan commits to on the occasion of his getting married, mostly financial, basically saying, I'm committed to you, no matter what, any future possibility, in any situation, you know, I am committed to taking care of you, even giving you the shirt off my back, v'chulu. It's not such a, like you're reading, it's not such a fuzzy, loving document. You know, it talks about no matter what happens in the future, even if things don't work out. But, on the other hand, it is a reflection of serious commitment and love by the chassam. So when you see it hanging in people's dining room, it's not that they don't know what's written in it. No, it is a reflection of commitment and love. It could be daraisa, it could be derabanan, machlokas rishonim, whether ksuba daraisa or ksuba derabanan. But it's all about the chassan's obligations to the wife. Again, it's not a marriage license, but the din is that the chassan and kala are not allowed to live together unless she has the ksuba. Unless she has a ksuba. He gives it to her under the chuppah, as we'll talk about, and she has to have it always. Not have it with her. She has to know where it is. As long as she knows where it is in the marriage, it's fine. If something happens to it, if it gets lost, so that's a big emergency, that day you need to call the rabbi and have another ksuba written called the ksuba de irkasa, a ksuba of one that was lost, and you rewrite it. Are there kulis bizman hazeh, a little flexibility in that? There is some. The Rama quotes in Samach Vav Gimel in source number 17. That what's the whole reason that you can't live together without a ksuba? Because we want people to take their marriage seriously, and we don't want them to easily divorce their wives. So they need a ksuba. But nowadays we don't divorce a bal karcha anyway for the past 1,000 years. So even without a ksuba, you can't divorce against your will. So the Rama says there is a little flexibility, but that's only shas atchak. I remember a couple of years ago there were these big fires in the Carmel. There's some whole houses, Rahman al-Sam, were burned down, so people lost everything. So people didn't think, including their ksubas, like until you get a rabbi and a ksubas. So there is some flexibility, but in general, I've had twice in my rabbanis of people calling up frantically. One usually happens when people move. Right, they move and they can't find it. They call up, they can't find it. So we did one, and another time, a family got. I remember it was, I don't know, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, no more, before we made Aliyah, it's about 20 years ago. Rabbi, we lost the ksuba. I'm like, what happened? They're like, well, we just got back from Vienna. We went on vacation. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, we lost it. I'm like, why'd you take it to Vienna? They're like, oh, you have to have the ksuba. I'm like, you have to know where the ksuba is. You don't have to have the ksuba. Put it in a drawer in your house and leave it there. Right? You don't have to take it. So as he doesn't have to know where it is. Just she has to know where it is. So as long as she can both know where it is. But that's the din of ksuba. And again, we fill it out at the chassan's tish. In chutz la'aretz, everyone, and in Eretz Yisrael, most, they even sign it. They sign it at the tish. Right? Which means the edim sign. The kinyan is done with the chassan. Right? When he picks up the pen, then the kinyan is done, the obligations kick in, you sign it, it's done. Yes, he's going to give it to the kala under the chuppah as a raya that she has always with her, but really it's already, all the obligations kick in. There is a minag Yerushalayim and the minag some places in Eretz Yisrael that they sign the ksuba under the chuppah, in the middle of the chuppah. So that is some, if anybody has been, I remember, only once in Chutz La'aretz, Rav Meir Goldacht. I remember I was at one of his kids' weddings in New Jersey, and wherever he is, it's Yerushalayim. So he did Minag Yerushalayim, he signed the ksuba under the chuppah in New Jersey. But that's the Rav Goldacht Shlita. He's special. But again, in most places they signed it at the tish. But again, in Eretz Yisrael, there's more of a minhag of some signed it at the chuppah also, so you don't want to run into problems with what date it is. But that's the ksuba. Generally, even if the woman is not a ksuba, we write pesula in the ksuba, right? Not for embarrassment, and it's fine because the chassan is committing to pay her the ksuba of the pesula. Right, even if she's not a psula. But either way, that's what's done at the tish. One more point, and then I'll take the question. It's a nice idea, again, not as common. I think it used to be a little more common, for the chassan to give a little Dvar Torah at the tish. Right, but so before maybe something to do with marriage, something to do. I've been at weddings where a chassan made a siyum at the tish, which is very nice. But again, so to share some words of Torah at this special occasion, that's besides just the singing. There was a hand up. No. Okay, let's continue. Says, so what else? So now we filled out the ksuba, we filled out the tanaim, if one does it. And now we head towards the kala, right? That's called the badekin. Badekin. To badek someone. What does badek mean? That means to cover. in Yiddish, to cover. That means the veiling of the kala. So when we dance, it's a very exciting time. We dance, though, usually, most of our circles, the two fathers dance the chasen to where the kala is, and then the chasen goes and covers the kala, pulls her veil on her. Right, she has a veil, and she goes up, and the chasen puts the veil on her, and then that's the din. And then there's a lot of whatever the menhagim. The father gives brachas, the grandfather gives brachas. That's all fine and dandy. But again, the din is that the veiling. So what is the purpose of this? So this is goes in the top 10 misconceptions shir. In halacha, so what is this one? People think, you're going to make sure it's the right one. This week's parsha, Baruch Hashem. It was a parsha connection. Rachel, Leah. Right, you want to make sure it's the right one. The problem is, if that's true, you'd unveil her. You wouldn't veil her. Right? You don't want to cover her. Right? So that can't be what the reason is. Can't be what the reason is that you're going to check it's the right one. So there are various suggestions. What exactly is the badekin? What exactly is the veiling? Some of the ideas. Some say it's just symbolically that, you know, now your beauty is going to be for me. Right? Covering. A sign of tznius. Number one. Others, maybe he's taking responsibility for her. He's covering her. But there are some Rishonim that say, the Tosfos Rid and the Mordechai, that this might be a form of chuppah. What does that mean? We'll get to it, Hashem, next week. We're not going to finish it today. Next week, that the Kiddushin is clear exactly what Kiddushin is. We know exactly what Kiddushin is. Right? The man gives the woman something of value. We give a ring. What's Nisuin? What's the second stage of a Jewish marriage? What does it say in the Gemara? Nothing. Why not? Good question. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But there are seven different opinions or so about what the second stage of Jewish marriage is. What is Nisuin? And we do all of them. We do all of them just to cover ourselves. Kiddushin, we know what it is. Hariyam Kodesh Asli, that's it. What's Nisuin? We do all of the opinions. So one of the opinions, this is the only one that we do before the Kiddushin. And that itself is a suffix about whether it works in the opposite order. The Mishnah Lamelech has a suffix in Hilchas Ishus, whether you could flip it, but we flip it because we don't really pass on like the Shita. But again, what's the Shita? That the man covers the woman with a type of beged. Right? That's Badekin. Right? And that's why the Chasin is the one that should do it. There are those that are Chumrah al-Gabi Chumrah, that people have Eidei Badekin. Why is that a Chumrah al-Gabi Chumrah? Because who says you need Eidim for Chuppah anyway? We'll talk about that next week. And if you say you need it for chuppah, who says this is the chuppah? So it's a triple chumrah to have AD Badekin, but there you might see some, though, those that do it, because by marriage there are some that want to be Yotzei Kol Deya V'Deya that you could find. But again, that's the an idea of Badekin. There are those, it's quoted in some of the Mefarshim, that, you know, to give brachas, that the bracha that you want to give her is a bracha of having a lot of children. And that's the bracha from last week's parsha, from Chayisara, Achoseinu, with the bracha that Lavan and Mesul gave Rivka when she left, Achoseinu atayil afi revava, v'yir zareich eisar sonav. It's a beautiful bracha. But it's a little tricky, like, you're quoting, like, Lavan, you know, you couldn't think of anything better? Like, how about just Yirech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yirech Hashem panav? So again, I don't think people ask me, like, do I have to say this? I'm like, you don't have to say it. Just say whatever. But again, you shouldn't stay, like, sometimes you see the chasen talking about for like 15 minutes with the kala there. Everybody's screaming and dancing, and like you put the kala on, like, do the veil, let's go to the chuppah. And then just think, have a few minutes there. But we should, that's, if it's one of the shittas of Nisuin, it should be connected to the chuppah as much as possible. Okay, from there, in Israel, it's very efficient, because generally, they dance the chasen straight from the badekin to the chuppah. That's it. In America, the chasen goes to another room, and they say, please, everybody, go to the chuppah room, and it'll be starting soon. And it takes about 20 minutes for everybody to get seated. Again, it's much more formal. It's much more misudar. In Israel, it's less, it's a little more Hamish. But again, whatever it is, you're getting ready for the chuppah, and now we are up to the actual wedding ceremony. Yeah?
If Badekin is meant to be one of the expressions of Nisuin, why would you do it before Kiddushin?
I'm saying, that's why it's, it's not, it's assuming that if that's the only reason we do it, then you probably would do it afterwards. That's true. But Maker did. We don't assume that's one of the reasons we do it. But then you can assume maybe it can be done out of order, like that. Mishnah Melech has a suffix about that. Yeah.
From what we mentioned at the start, like the case where the husband accidentally used his sister's ring. Why wouldn't you just be samech on the Mishnah Melech suffix? that you could do in the opposite order. And then, and chuppah's and
I'm saying, but where was the kiddushin?
No, there's a shita though that chuppah can also affect kiddushin, right?
I don't know, kiddushin, accepting chuppah, kiddushe bia, whether that's nisu anosa or eris anosa. But could chuppah work as kiddushin? That's not so clear. Oh. That's not so clear. Okay, so we're up to the marriage. So I guess maybe we'll pick up next week. We'll be doing the actual marriage ceremony and afterwards. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about Shana Rishona. And that, B'Hashem, will take us through our Eben Ezer topics, Isurim, and finally, the mitzvah. And then, B'Hashem, will pick up with a new series after that. Okay? Let's stop there.